Hello, everyone. I'm Antoinette Mason. I'm a research analyst at UCSF here in San Francisco in the Department of General Internal Medicine. I have no disclosures to report. So, numerous epidemiological studies have shown that people of low socioeconomic status are at higher risk of CHD. One reason for this relationship is the higher burden of traditional CHD risk factors in those of low SES. Although this seems to account for some of the observed differences, it does not account for all, suggesting that low SES is an independent risk factor for CHD. There are several explanations for where this independent additional risk stems from, such as barriers in access to care, stress, the environment, diet, just to name a few. But it's likely a combination of all of these things and more that link SES to higher risk of CHD. The contribution of low SES to the burden of cardiovascular disease in U.S. adults has not been quantified, and it is important for guiding public health and clinical interventions that are aimed at prevention. Therefore, we wanted to quantify the excess incident MI events annually in U.S. adults that can be attributed to low SES. Specifically, we wanted to assess the proportion of incident MIs that are attributable to the higher concentration of these CHD risk factors and those of low SES, and the proportion that are attributable to the additional independent burden associated with low SES. To do this, we first reviewed the literature to determine the effect sizes reported between low SES and CHD. As you can see here, studies vary based on what CHD outcome they examine in relationship to SES. So some studies look at any first CHD event, whereas other studies look at specific CHD events, such as CHD death or MI. Based on this variation in CHD outcomes used, we decided to model two different assumptions. So our first assumption, which we call approach one, is that in addition to the higher burden of these risk factors, low SES is an independent risk factor for total CHD incidence. This was seen in several of the studies we reviewed, although not all. Total CHD incidence is any first event, and this can include angina, arrest, death, or MIs. And we used a range of effect sizes reported in the literature of the effect of low SES on CHD incidence. Our second assumption, approach two, is that the low SES population still has this higher burden of traditional CHD risk factors, but otherwise has no additional risk for total CHD incidence. Instead, low SES has an increased risk of death, which is due to a shift in the distribution of CHD events towards hard, more severe events such as MI or death instead of angina. We used a range of effect sizes reported in the literature of the effect of low SES on CHD mortality as a proxy for hard CHD incidence. In order to accurately quantify the effect of low SES on incident MIs, we chose to model both of these assumptions with the understanding that these are two of the extremes and it's likely a combination of both of these. We looked at incident MIs as our outcome and report annual rates of these events. So we used the coronary heart disease policy model, which is an established computer simulation of CHD in U.S. adults, to model both of these approaches. The data in the CHD policy model is derived from national data sets and calibrated to national event rate estimates. For the purpose of this study, we used the risk factor distribution of the low SES population, which was based on NHANES data, and we assume that all individuals had higher rates of cardiovascular risk factors, such as smoking, hypertension, or diabetes, to name a few, which is observed in this low SES population. We use beta coefficients based on Framingham and other epidemiological and interventional studies. Low SES was defined as an income less than 150% of the federal poverty level or having less than a high school education, and only included individuals between the ages of 35 and 64 because measuring SES using income after 65 can be complicated due to retirement and Social Security. So for each scenario, we accounted for the excess incident MIs that can be attributed to this higher burden of risk factors, and then quantified the additional incident MIs that are attributable solely to low SES. This table shows the proportion of excess incident MIs that are attributable to low SES after adjusting for the higher burden of CHD risk factors. On the left, you see is approach 1, and on the right is approach 2, and they're separated by gender. As you can see here, regardless of the approach, we project very similar projections of MI events that are attributable to low SES. For example, if you look at incident MIs in males for approach 1, we project 21 to 35% of first MI events in the low SES population, which is about 7 to 13% of first MIs among U.S. adults that are attributable to low SES. In approach 2, we project a very similar range of 20 to 23% of first MIs in the low SES population, which is 8 to 10% of first MIs among U.S. adults. In absolute numbers, we project 9,000 to 17,000 incident MIs annually with approach 1, and 10,000 to 12,000 incident MIs per year with approach 2 in those of low SES. So another way that we can look at the proportion of incident MI rates that are attributable to low SES is seen on this graph. So just to orient you to this graph, on the y-axis is the incident MIs per 10,000 person years in the low SES population. On the x-axis is approach 1 on the left and approach 2 on the right, and we look at the rates by age range and gender. The bottom blue portion of the bar is the proportion of the incident MI events that are predicted assuming an average distribution of risk factors in the U.S. So this is the proportion that is not directly attributable to low SES. The top two bars combined, which are the red bar and the green bar, are the proportion of the rate that can be attributable to low SES. The red bar in the middle is the proportion of the rate due to the additional risk factors of the low SES population. So as I said, for example, they're more likely to be smokers, they're more likely to have hypertension or diabetes. And then the last green portion is the additional risk of the low SES above and beyond these traditional clinical risk factors. Regardless of the assumption about the epidemiology of CHD risk, if we look across both approaches in all age ranges at the red bar, we can see a substantial portion of the risk of incident MIs can be explained by these traditional risk factors. However, also across all subcategories, there is still an excess of 20 to 30% of the total incident MI rate in the green bar that are attributable to low SES and cannot be explained by these risk factors alone. So regardless of the assumption about the epidemiology of risk, low SES is itself a substantial contributor to the higher burden of CHD observed in this population. A significant portion of the burden is attributable to the distribution of CHD risk factors. However, even when we account for this excess risk, there's still an additional independent risk that is associated with CHD incidents. We project that this risk consistently accounts for an excess of 20 to 30% of new MIs annually among those with low SES. In U.S. adults ages 35 to 64, 8 to 14% of first MIs can be attributed to low SES. As with all studies, there are limitations to these findings. Projections such as ours are limited by any uncertainty concerning the inputs to the model. We modeled the effects of low SES on CHD incidence and mortality using a range of previously published estimates that come from community-based cohort studies. This leaves uncertainty about the effects on the total population. Also, these studies defined low SES using a combination of wealth, education, and income. But our model only permitted the inclusion of individual-level income and education definitions, which limits our ability to explore the full potential of SES on CHD. Finally, we modeled the impact on individuals between the ages of 35 to 64 because of the difficulties in measuring SES using income-based measures after 65 years of age. We are unable to make any generalizations on the impact of SES of the geriatric or young adult population, and thus likely underestimating the effects of low SES. So quantifying the incident MIs in the U.S. really helps us to understand how big this problem really is. Over 10% of all first MI events in the U.S. in ages 35 to 64 are attributable to low SES after adjusting for the higher burden of CHD risk factors. This is a large number, and addressing low SES could greatly reduce the disparities in the low SES population and the burden of CHD in the U.S. Obviously, there are many hypotheses for the effect of low SES on CHD, and many of these mechanisms are still unknown. Therefore, continuing to focus research to identify these mechanisms is a critical first step. Additionally, our findings underscore the need to broaden our understanding of CHD risk beyond merely these traditional clinical factors and to pay attention to SES in the clinical setting. And last, this study suggests that in addition to these clinical interventions, reducing SES disparities will require broad public health and other policy interventions that address the underlying social determinants of health. Thank you.